Blog Talk Radio.
Special guest today, Ms. Corey James. We're going to be talking with her real soon, but I just want to go over a couple of announcements, and then we're going to get started with the show. If you're looking for any advertisement, radio spins, radio interviews, whether you're an author or life coach, you can contact me, Faith Lane, at Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio. And I'm super excited because last week we decided, I connected with another producer to go on demand. So I'm super excited about that. So you're going to be able to find Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio through Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube. I mean, that's just the name of some places, Pinterest. So those are some sites that you'll be able to find me on. So I'm super excited about building that up. We have a featured guest for this week is Ms. Nikki Easton. Her name is spelled N-I-K-K-I-E-A-S-O-N. You can find her under NikkiEason.com. She's the androgynous model. Super excited about her and her series episode on YouTube. So you can look her up either under androgynous model, and you can spell androgynous A-N-D-R-O-G-Y-N-O-U-S, and that's the androgynous model, and that's Nikki Easton. So if you, you know, guys, there are some YouTube fanatics and you like to look at some of the series, you can go find her on that. I had her on the show last week, and I'm just super excited. She's working on her third episode, so I'm super excited about her. So we have a special guest today, Ms. Corey James. She's a breast cancer survivor, actor on the LGBT web series Scandalous Tales, and she's also a hairstylist of 13 years. I want to welcome Ms. Corey James. Ms. Corey, can you hear me?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's so crazy because we actually been, didn't actually meet her, but Ms. Corey been on my Facebook page for a couple of years. We just never really connected, and I decided to reach out to her and see if she was open to talk about her story, her journey about breast cancer, and talk about her web series. And so, you know, she was like, sure. So I'm just super excited to finally get a chance to connect with you and have you on my platform.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
So the first thing I want to talk about with you is, and then we're going to talk about all your businesses, whatever it is that you're doing. I want to help you advertise that also. But I want to talk about the breast cancer event that you had in your life. And I watched you through the whole journey with some of your posts and things like that. And so the first thing I want to ask you, well, first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself before we even get started. Sorry about that.
I do a lot. I used to do a lot. So I've kind of narrowed down within the years of just taking my business a little bit more seriously as being a hairstylist. I do a little bit of art, and also acting was not my thing, but I did kind of try that. So I just pretty much stay busy and keep my resume open to try new things. So, you know, what I don't know what's next, but something will come.
Well, one thing about me, I actually, as I was growing up through the years, people used to always ask me the same question all the time, like, what do you plan on doing for the next 5 or 10 years? Never knew that they seen an entrepreneur in me, even though I was raised by entrepreneurs. And so I actually didn't start any of my businesses until I was 46 years old. And so I get super excited when I hear other people being entrepreneurs and you know, looking to see what they are doing with their business and see if we could collaborate or do some business together. So I'm super excited because I want to know, you know, what all you're doing and, you know, what kind of plans do you have in the future as far as other ventures. So I'm excited about learning about that.
Yeah. You never know, actually, with me.
Yeah. You seem like you're a serial entrepreneur, you know, just looking at some of the posts and things that you do. So that's pretty cool. So I know I have spoke with you before, but I want, you know, to see if you were open to share your journey about your breast cancer. Now, let me ask you, I mean, how old were you when you first was diagnosed?
Oh, I believe I was, 25, 6, 7, around there? So I was pretty young. I was young enough for them to realize, like, you might not have it because of your age. And that's pretty much what they told me. So I was pretty young.
Right. And you seemed like you were young when I looked at the pictures. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of I was reaching out to different people on my other platforms because, you know, that do not have a number on it. And a lot of people think that only older people get breast cancer. So I was very surprised to see how young you looked. That's why I was very curious about your actual age at the time. And so were you having some complications or something like that when you first, what made you go to the doctor to get checked?
Well, okay, so it almost feels like it happened out of nowhere. What I did remember is I was coming in, I went out that night. I came in to change my clothes, you know, to get out of your makeup and all of that. And so as I'm undressing, I kind of just went over one of the lumps on my chest. And at first it was in the right side. And I'm like, okay, that's weird because I don't think that's been there before. You know what I mean? Like when you're going through everyday life, you don't really pay attention to some things. And so it just kind of, I kind of happened to notice it. And I'm like, okay, that's never been there. So I went to the doctor, one of the first doctors, and they told me it was a fibroid at that time. So it really kind of seemed like it was out of nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so what like,
I mean, I was pretty healthy. I was pretty healthy at that time. You know what I mean? I didn't really smoke. I don't smoke, actually. I never really drunk any alcohol. You know, I was pretty healthy, so.
Wow. So, what did they do? Did they do a biopsy then, or did they make you, did they watch it? Because I know sometimes you can go into the doctor. I know they actually have to check me every 6 months. My mom had breast cancer, but they found the lump on my side, but they always tell me I'll check you every 6 months. And so what did they do with you when they first noticed it?
Well, the first time they just gave me an ultrasound, and they ruled it as just having fibroids, and they said, well, I said, well, what, you know, what is that, and how did I get it? And they said, well, young women get them all the time, from stress, from caffeine, and from something else he named off. And I'm like, okay, well, number one, who's not stressed? And number two,
right.
I don't drink any caffeine at all, and I eat pretty healthy, and I don't smoke. So there's something else that's wrong. And they really just ruled it off as fibroids. And that was that. So I actually had two other opinions. And the third time is when they actually did a biopsy because they were like, well, it is getting bigger. At this point, it was about 3-4 centimeters big. They said, it is getting bigger. And they were kind of going off of the last two files, but they said they sent it over to a specialist, and that's when they did the biopsy the third time. But by the third time, it was already stage 3.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, it was already stage 3. Like, I had been going, I think maybe not even a year span, almost a year span, is when I went to get myself checked out, and it took that long for them to catch it. And I kept telling them, like, something else is wrong. They weren't listening.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so scary. That is very scary.
Yes.
Especially you already know that you're a healthy person and you're doing the right thing by going to get other opinions, and it took that many doctors and that long. I'm
right,
just
exactly.
floored right now with that.
Right. Right.
Wow. So it makes me think about me because I go every 6 months to be checked. So and I've been going through this for a couple of years, actually. So it just really kind of opened me up to start, trying to look into different specialists that actually, the kind of doctors that you went to, were they specialists for women or were they just regular doctor's appointments?
Well, they were all supposed to be specialists. The first one was like a breast center, and they were supposed to have specialists there. And then the other two was at the same place, two different times. And they were, I'm trying to think of what it was. They were specialists as far as like, I guess like in women's, I don't really remember, but they sent it over to like a specialist at OU hospital, where he actually like, worked with women that have like cancer, stuff like that. I'm not sure about the exact name right now. It's literally
right.
going off the top of my head. But he actually works with women, you know, that have breast cancer, goes through the process and all that. And so when I met him, I felt a little bit more comfortable because it's like, okay, he actually knows what I've been going through, and he actually knows the symptoms and the signs and all of that. So
right.
once I got to him, I felt really comfortable. But everyone else, it was like a guessing game almost.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm just glad that you stayed on it because a lot of people, especially a lot of women, but especially a lot of black women, some don't follow up and they get worse than what they expect, or they just don't check their bodies the way they should. And
right.
And a lot of them don't make it. I mean, my mom didn't make it, but my mom didn't make it because she didn't have the money financially, and her insurance
yeah.
didn't cover it. Her insurance didn't cover everything. And
yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I want to do this show with some women, just to share their different stories and perspective and things that they went through, because everybody's story is different. And so one of the reasons is what I do with my full-time business kind of relates to people being healthy and getting them insurance in case in the event that they have, cancer, different kind of cancers and things. They could actually take money from those policies and use it to help pay those bills. And so, and again, a lot of these people just don't know what they don't know. And so my mom actually passed away from hers because she just ran out of money financially. And so she had, and it's sad that, people, passing away young, and it's because of financial. It's not because they couldn't fight, or they couldn't be saved. So, that's just one of the big problems in our community, and it's about educating the other women so they can know that you can't, first of all, get insurance and stuff before anything happens, because you just don't know, and you're a prime example of doing it while you're young, getting certain things in place while you're young, so that you don't have to, it don't have to be a financial burden. So that kind of, making me think about other things that people that I've talked to in the past about making sure that, in the event that that happened, you'll be prepared for certain things.
Did
it cost you a lot of money out of pocket?
I did have insurance, but it was really very, very frustrating because insurance denied a lot of the treatment. Like, they tried to go back and forth with the doctors and say, well, we're not paying for this. And I'm like, okay, like, what do you want me to do?
Right. Right.
So, as far as, I had a great support system, with my family helping with bills because I could not work. It got to a point to where I had to literally stop doing hair. I was super sick. I went through the worst of the worst chemo. I went through extra rounds because a couple of the chemo drugs were a little bit too strong for me. They were have these reactions, and we had to switch them out a couple times. And so, it can get very expensive. And then, of course, ER treatments, and then I had to do a blood transfusion, and then came radiation and all of that stuff. So, it's not a game. It's not a game.
Financially,
it is not a game. And I'm thankful that, we did get through that process with, the insurance, and my doctors were on it. But, it's still, it'll still put you in a hole a little bit, especially with that back pay, that back co-pays and all of that stuff. It'll still put you in a financial.
When you first was diagnosed, I mean, who was the first person you talked to as far as your family and things, and how did they take that?
Well, crazy thing. So I was with an ex of mine at the time, and we were going through, I don't know what we were going through, but I remember I was sitting on the couch, I was folding laundry, and I remember getting the phone call. And once I got the phone call, I remember crying and telling the doctor that it was a relief that I finally found out what happened and what was wrong with me. So the next person I actually talked to was my ex at the time. And because we were going through such a hard time, I was just telling her, look, this is not going to be easy. And if you don't want to be here, I'm not asking you to be here. But at this point, I need support. So if you're not going to support me,
then don't. But if you are, then that's great. Then we can move on. And she was the first person that I told. Anyone else after that, I'm not exactly sure who. I don't know if it was my mom or my grandma or whatever, but I told the rest of my family around the same time. So.
Okay. And how did they take it when you told them? Because I know they were surprised that at the age you were, and then you explained that to them. What did they say?
Pretty surprised. I don't think anybody really had words for what's going on, other than we'll be here, we'll support you, and everything is gonna be okay. My first thought was everything's not going to be okay. I'm about to die. That is so hard to say, but that is the reality. When you think of cancer, that's what you think of. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, everything is not going to be okay. Like, I'm done.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. Like, it is almost crazy because it's like I don't want to hear nice, supportive things, but this is what you need. You know what I mean? So that's what they were kind of telling me, and my head was spinning. Like, okay, I don't know what I'm about to do. I don't know where to start. It was insane, and so I don't really think there was too many words that they could have really spoke, other than we got you, we're here, and all of that. So
okay, wow, I know that's kind of hard. I mean, just even go through it mentally and thinking about, like, wow, how did I
right.
get here? How did this happen? And things like that. So, wow. So you're at the time, your ex was being there to support you. Did she support you through it all?
She helped somewhat financially. She did help somewhat through all of that. And I'm not going to bash her on radio, but it's crazy because once you go through stuff like that, it's almost like you do see, it's like you open your third eye to stuff. And you
mm-hmm.
see exactly like what's really going on. And I felt as though like she was being supported the best way she could. At the same time, though, I felt like it was only in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Times that I would have company, I felt like she was trying to show out a little bit. And so I really did feel alone in those moments because it's like, okay, well, when the doors are closed, what do you do? You're not the same person. So I was struggling with, not even trying to really fix the relationship because that's your last thought. You do have to kind of get yourself together and worry about, what you're going to do in your health. But it was like, okay, I'm trying to fix a relationship. And then with me having kids, it's like, okay, the kids are young and I don't want them to see me like this. And then at the same time, it's, family, they're being supportive as they can, but you just really feel alone. So even with her being there, it felt like she wasn't there.
Right. So
yeah.
So let me ask you this. Well, first of all, how many kids? Do you have kids? I thought I heard you say you have children. Okay.
Yeah, I have four.
how old are your children? I mean, at the time, how old were they?
You know what? I couldn't even tell you. The reason my memory is so bad now because of the chemotherapy, and
mm-hmm.
I believe my oldest, I want to say my oldest was probably like 6 or 7, 8, 9 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they were still fairly young. They knew. I talked to them about what was going on, but they still couldn't understand what was going on. So there would be days to where, like, the oldest two would try to help me cook because I taught them how to cook, And so they would try to help me cook or, like, help me move around the house or, help get the two little ones together because the other two were, younger, of course. But they were still trying to process everything, and they did act out because they didn't really understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
I could kind of imagine at that age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was hard for them.
I can imagine. And it's like, you definitely need some support system. As an adult, I'm saying, to understand what you're going through, someone that's not going to be there to act up, because that's the last thing you need is some stress. So that's for sure.
Right.
So now what happened with your, are you fully cured or have you had any issues afterwards?
I am fully cancer-free. I was cancer-free. I got diagnosed in 2015. In December 8th, 2015, I actually had a double mastectomy. So I was cancer-free then. They did get all of it out, but they wanted to make sure that it wasn't in my lymph nodes and it wouldn't come back. So I am definitely cancer-free. I went through radiation after that. What else? And then I did reconstruction for a long time. So
right.
I actually finished the process September of last year and had my final surgery for my implants.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
now,
I'm definitely
right. Yeah, I know that I meant to mention that because I remember the day you posted when you had your breast removed, and I was just like, my mouth was, I just felt so bad because I couldn't imagine what you were going through. But at the same time, I was praying. I said, I hope that you definitely have a good support system because, do you have – some people take pride in their breast. And so it's just like, you know, I was like, I hope that she truly had a good support system. And some people don't
mm-hmm.
have it. And people see you going through some things. And I can kind of, you know, speak on my issue. I had actually was in a car accident a couple of years ago in 2008. This was before
mm-hmm.
Me and you became Facebook friends. And I literally had to crawl to the back restroom and crawl to fix me something to eat. And
yeah.
they had family right there, a block or two away from me, and didn't have the support that I need. So, I was just hoping and praying that you had the support that you need because I saw that you was definitely going through something. And you
right.
had so many people praying for you. I don't know if you ever go back and look at those, if you look at your memories. And, your comment section used to be so full of so many people praying for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
you remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I was one of those people in your comments too. I was like, wow. I mean, but I thought it was sad, but at the same time it was beautiful that you were sharing your story with people as you go and helping other people know that you 20 years old do not mean you can't have breast cancer. It does not mean that you can't, that you have to hide your story. Because
right.
I'm sure you helped a lot of people through some things. And I'm sure they probably, you know, some of their comments and things and probably inboxes probably helped you also. So,
right.
I thought that was, beautiful that you was actually sharing your story with people.
Thank you.
So, now, if you don't mind me asking, your implant, did your insurance cover that or you had to pay for that yourself?
Well, they did pay for it. Now, we had to do a back and forth tug of war, of course, but they did pay for it because it was not necessarily like cosmetic, but it was more so like I didn't really have a choice. So,
right,
so like,
right.
Okay, we didn't have a choice, so now this is kind of for you type thing. So they did go ahead and pay for it. What they do is you have a 2-year window in order to
mm-hmm.
finish that. And I was actually outside of the 2-year window because I had so many problems with the expanders. The expanders
mm-hmm.
are like replacement implants or temporary implants to where they stretch your skin out to make room for the implant because you don't want your skin to break or I guess they said it's so that your chest doesn't cause an infection or doesn't cause an infection during that process or something like that. But anyway, they're
mm-hmm.
making room for the implant. So I had so many complications because, one, they're so hard. Number two, they're so uneven. You can't sleep. You can't wear what you want to wear. You really have to adjust your whole life and take it easy. I couldn't lift cases of water. It was crazy because I like to do everything on my own. I couldn't lift cases
mm-hmm.
of water. So having people to have it to do that for me was so frustrating because it's like, I want to do it myself. Let me do it. But
right.
I had both sides burst at different times, and I believe
oh, wow.
one side bursted twice, I think.
But anyway, so they no. What it was, they had to reposition both of them the first time, and then one side burst, and then the other side burst. So with all of that surgery time, with all that healing time, going back, filling them up, because you have to go every week or every 2 weeks to fill them up, they have to have time for that. So I was way out of my 2-year window. So
wow. My
doctor kind of has to explain to the insurance company, like, hey, you know, this is why. It's not because, you know, either side has been lacking. It's literally because, you know, we've had to have that time to rest and replace and all of that. So that process alone was a hard process. That process
right. Is
for the birds.
Right. I'm sure it was. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so now are you more comfortable with your implants and things now?
I am, and it's a weird thing that you go through. Like when I had my mastectomy, at first it was hard. I didn't look at myself in the mirror until maybe like a month after, and not to say that they define you, but I mean it is a part of you, and so like when your physical appearance changes like that, it's really difficult, and especially because you don't have a say in how you're changing your physical appearance. So it was hard. I did get used to not having them after a while, and I'm like, okay, I'm loving not wearing a bra. You know what I mean? I'm loving it.
Right.
But then I did get to a point to where I'm like, okay, I want to feel like me again. I want to feel almost whole again or normal again. I want to be able to wear bras, which is weird because I still don't wear them.
Right.
But that's what I thought at the time. I'm like, I want to be able to wear bras again. I want to be able to wear, you know, regular clothes and not be limited as to what I wear. And so now I still don't wear bras. But I did say, you know, once I get my implants, I'm going bra shopping. I did buy one bra. For the fun of it, and I was so excited about it, but to be honest, I'm like, no, I'm over it.
Right.
So, I mean, hey, I'm a little bit more comfortable with myself now.
Well, yeah. I also had a, well, it's not the same, but, you know, I understand when it comes to the bra part, because I actually had a breast reduction myself. So I know that the transition between putting on one and then what kind you want to wear, and, you know, if you want to wear the same design you was wearing before and all the other stuff. So,
right.
Trust me, I know about that part.
Right.
Oh, goodness. So so tell me a little bit about, I see that, okay, let's talk about this series, the web series, Scandalous Tales. Now, how many episodes did you feature in there? That you worked in that?
Well, I was in season one. Season one has 7 episodes. It's been so long. 7 episodes. The last two are a little bit longer. It's almost like a movie type thing. Season two is still coming out. I can't really express what's going on with that right now. But season one, I'm all over season one. So,
okay. Because I had tried to go back, I tried to go look at the media you had spoke, and I was like, I was looking through episodes. I said, I don't see her, so I still haven't went through all of them. So
yeah.
So what part did you play? Tell me a little bit about the part that you played.
I play Sasha. Sasha is a stripper / hustler / you know, she's all about her money, but she's also a femme. She is a more dominant femme, and she's interesting because she's not like me, but she falls for a straight woman, and in the end of episode one, things kind of take a turn because she kind of fell for the straight woman. The straight woman fell for her, and it's just a whole mess.
Whole mess. As it happened for real in real life. Okay.
In real life. Right.
So, okay. Well, just a little bit about this. It's an LGBT web series. I meant to mention that. So just in case people out there wondering, like, what does she mean falling for another woman in film? And it's so crazy that they actually created this series and they talk about that, which it need to be talked about because there's some straight women out here. They be acting up for real, friend. And there's some lesbian women out here act up too. But it's funny. It's funny that you did that. They had you play that part because that's how it works out sometimes.
Exactly.
Now, how long did it take you guys to film that series?
Ooh, so crazy story. We weren't even finished with the first season before, you know, came out. So we were still filming and putting these episodes out and rushing the process while we were still putting these episodes out. How long did it take? Maybe a couple months before we just put them out, and every time we were rushing to film, rushing to learn these lines. They were trying to they were trying to rush and edit these episodes and put them on YouTube, but sometimes they wouldn't be out at a certain time. It was, mm-hmm. This process was insane. It was so rushed. This is my life.
Right. And it's crazy because I've been actually reaching out to other people. I know they have different series and like the lady that I was speaking about earlier, Nikki Easton, I don't know if you ever heard of her, but she's in the Charlotte area. She's known as Androgynous Model. She has her series is kind of like a Tyra Banks. And she have films on there. She have studs, and she have them perform different challenges. And sometimes the studs might have to put feminine clothes on, and the feminine have to put stud clothes on. And so, but I thought it was so freaking cool some of these series and things are coming up on YouTube. I can't keep up with all of them.
There's
many. It really is. I thought that was so cool. But the person that created this series, how long have they been in it? Did they just start when you started filming? Was that their first series doing things like this? While you guys were, you know. Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah, well, that's cool, though,
because
sometimes you have to learn as you go.
Right. Yeah, you know, crazy thing is, somebody actually came up to me. I think a promoter, a DJ down here, came to me when the idea was brought to her and was like, you know, I want to start the series, but I don't know what I need to do. And I'm like, well, first thing you need to do is get a writer, which Alex was the one who wrote and produced the show. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, I don't want to do it. At first, I literally turned everything down. I'm like, I don't want to do it, but that's what you need to do is get a writer. So I found Alex. I don't know how, you know, their conversation went, but I do remember that they had casting calls after that. And even when they had casting calls, I just went to see what was going on. I didn't want to do it. I didn't audition the very first time. They filmed a trailer, none of it. So,
wow.
I actually was talked into doing the series after they did that trailer. And that's when I went to an official casting call, and they was like, you're playing Sasha. Not that I had a choice, you're playing Sasha.
Right. Right. Okay. I bet it was fun, though, once you got the hang of everything.
It was. It was fun. It was different. It was different.
Right. Well, hopefully I can get on somebody's, even if I just do one, I just want to do one, get on somebody's show one day. I never did any acting or anything like that, but. One of my friends, this one lady, she was an actress, and she was the first radio station I worked on, actually. And this was last year around this time. That's the funny thing. And she said, I do a lot of casting calls and stuff. And I said, well, I want to get involved. I said, I never did acting before. She was like, well, have you ever cheated on anybody? And I was like, no. She was like, oh, because I always tell a cheater, if you know how to cheat and you got away with it, you know how to act. I said, this woman is funny.
Wow. I would have never put that together.
Right. And she just busted out laughing. I was like, and I was sitting there thinking like I had a, like I was having a blonde moment for a minute. I was like, that make a lot of sense. But, yeah. I was like, well, I've never cheated before, so now what do I do?
Right.
But I have a lot of actresses and, you know, actors and stuff on my page, so I'm sure that I'm going to soon be connected with something. So we'll see.
Right.
That's cool. So how long have you been a hairstylist? I see you be having no banging hairstyles. I'm like, she need to do some of those. Have you done any videos and posted your videos? Because I see a lot of pictures, and I haven't seen a lot of your stuff lately. That could be because I just added 3,000 more people on my page, so I'm not seeing everybody's stuff again.
Right. Well, I have. I used to do videos a lot before I actually changed my brand name, because this Corey J. Exclusive wasn't always my brand name. At first, it was Diva Approved. So I used to do videos all the time. I used to do, you know, pictures. But I'm so bad with phones that I lose content all the time. And so I did change my brand name. I slowed down on the videos a little bit. I will post videos kind of here and there, but now I'm getting more into doing a lot more videos back on YouTube. I'm not a stranger to YouTube, so back on YouTube for my hair page, and I'm getting a little bit more involved with it. I'm trying to put a little bit more information out there, so we're getting there.
Well, one of the things is I don't know how high your stand or the mirror is set or whatever, but they have different stands that you can actually, you know, hook your phone up on. And I actually just invested in a couple of them for my iPad and my phone, so I could start doing live on some different angles. But that would be another way to, you know, to have some of your content saved on like an iPad or something like that, and then uploaded, because I used to enjoy watching, even though at that time when I was watching some of your videos you did have, and I think you was kind of one of the original people for real on my page that I would see that was doing those hair videos. Now I'm seeing everybody doing them. But it's a great way to get your business out there. But I was in the process of letting my hair grow at the time, because I always wore my hair short, and I finally had let it grow to like almost to my waist. And then I had to end up cutting it back off, so now I'm back in transition again to let it grow. But it was nice to see those videos and say, okay, I can see myself rocking that style. So that's just something to think about. And, you know, I share a lot of people's hair videos on my pages. I have 4 different pages. And on my LinkedIn page, I have like almost – I got over 23,000 people on that particular page, so – I'm sure we could help you get some extra business, you know, if you, you know, once you start getting some more videos out there.
Right, right. Yeah, I want to invest into a tripod, and I have it rigged to where I can put my phone up there. But now I have an iPhone. It's totally different. So, right now I found a way to, you know, go ahead and do the videos and all of that now. So, yeah, I'm working on it. I got a couple out already. I'm actually done for February, and I'm working almost done for March, too. So I'll be working for April's videos now. So I got a lot of stuff out there. It's just coming out every week.
Right. Yeah, I was last night I was actually looking up how the new iPads and things or iPhones and things work, because I haven't bought in so long, but it's time for me to do it. And I see that they had it where you can edit your own stuff. You don't have to be, you know, hiring people to do it. And I was like, I definitely need to do that. Get one of those.
Right.
So I was investigating it last night, and you know, to get me one. And you know, it's, excuse me, it's just an investment in myself, or you know, my multiple businesses that I have. So yeah, so you know, you end up getting the money back. It's just about making that initial big investment first. So,
right.
Ms. Corey, how can people get in contact with you? And, you know, I don't know what area, what state you live in, if they want to, you know, come get their hair done. And, you know, so tell us a little bit how people get in contact with you.
Well, I do have a website. It's a lot easier to go to the website because all of my social media pages that are available are connected to the website. And it is www.CorryJExclusive.com. I'm in the Oklahoma City area, so I specialize in natural hair. I love color, I love cut, extensions, and really I'm about healthy hair. I'm not about, you know, giving me style, a color, anything else. I prefer healthy hair over anything, so.
All right. And it's crazy because I just built a team with my agency in Oklahoma. That's crazy. I don't know why I thought you was in St. Louis, but, you know. I don't know why I'd be wanting everybody to be in St. Louis. That's crazy. I probably need to go visit you. I haven't been there before, so. But that's cool. Now, we got a few minutes left of the show, and I want to ask you if you can share anything with the world, because we're on a global platform, and whether it comes to business, family, health-wise, what would you share with the world about that? Like if you had your, you know, if you wanted to share your personal opinion about it.
Well, I would say back to the breast cancer thing, I would say this, because you did touch on it a little bit, and I talked to my clients about this the other day, which is kind of weird, but the second, third, and even fourth opinion is definitely important when you're dealing with your health. And I know a lot of times that we take to heart what the doctors tell us because we don't know. We don't really know, you know, all of these diseases, what caused them a lot of times. Sometimes we just know how we feel and then we know it's not right. But that does not mean because you don't really know certain things that you shouldn't go get a second, third, fourth opinion or that you shouldn't put your input in and say, hey, something is wrong. We need to figure out what's going on. If I would have just left it as a first opinion, I probably wouldn't have caught it, you know what I mean, and something severe could have happened. So
right.
I would just say when it comes to your health, don't let them tell you that you're too young, you're too old. Don't let them tell you that, you know, eating better, because I did have a doctor tell me that eating better would not help my situation, which was stupid, because I ended up looking at all of this information myself. I looked up everything myself and kind of figured out what I could do to make myself a little bit better because, number one, I hate taking medication. I won't even take Tylenol. And I just knew that I was not feeling good through this process with all of the medication that they were giving me. So I had to make a decision to really look things up for myself, no matter what they told me, and go about it the way that I knew how. And that helped me so much. That helped me so much. So don't just, like I said before, don't just take the words of the doctors just solely. Just make sure you always have backup, make sure you're always looking things up for yourself, and making sure that you are really protecting yourself and getting yourself checked out. So that's what I would say.
Right. And you're right. I mean, just don't be taking, you know, if something's not right with your body. And again, that you know, brought me back to my accident when they kept telling me, we don't see anything on the x-rays. And I kept telling them, I don't care what you say. I know something's wrong. And so if you know something's wrong and you're not comfortable with that doctor's opinion, go find another one, like you said. If you got to go 3 to 4 different daggone doctors just to find out, I mean, that's the best thing to do. And you're right about that.
Right.
Well, I'm so thankful that, you know, that you finally found out. And, you know, even though you had to go through some stuff, God brought you through it. And,
right.
and you're still alive with us, and you're here to still here to tell your story. And I really appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, we got a few minutes left over. I'm going to do a couple of announcements, and then we're going to close the show out. Ms. Iva Foster, and I actually had her on my show last month. She's an up-and-coming gospel artist, and her song is called So Amazing. So that's the song that we're going to be closing out with. And, again, I want to thank Ms. Corey James for coming on Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Show. I really enjoyed your story and enjoyed talking with you. And hopefully we can connect again in the near future. I mean, I don't know if you're going to be on the Series 2 of Scandalous Tales, but you can also find her on Scandalous Tales, as the LGBT web series. And then her here, or you can find her on Corey. Corey, if you can announce that again, your website again. Sorry about that.
Corey, CORRIJExclusive.com.
All right. Well, that's the end of the Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Show. I'm looking forward. In the midst of talking to a couple of people to come on and be co-hosts. So I'm super excited about that. Again, we get ready to go on demand with some more up-to-date websites. So we will be letting you guys know that in the near future. And so I'm super excited about that. So until next time, we'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, 11 a.m. to noon Eastern Standard Time. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3741. And you guys have a great and blessed day. Again, this is Iva Foster, So Amazing.
Be free. I'm not the same because of your grace. You are amazing. You are amazing.
It's gonna be alright.